Waiting for a Chinook is basically the search for my dad through the archives of his papers. It was a very, very emotional, provocative, and enlightening journey to come back after so many years and kind of just see where he stood and what he stood for in his community.
Was that your plan to come back here and look at the archives and write a play, or did the play just come out organically once you decided to do that?
Well, the play is actually a third run at this topic. Many, many years ago, in Los Angeles, I wrote a screenplay called Queen of the Cody Stampede. And then when I was at UCross Foundation, I wrote a first draft novel called Night Rodeo. Basically, I novelized the screenplay, Cody Stampede. But the play has come about in the last year as a result of some previous productions I've done with Lee Selting, chair of the theater and dance department.
You said that you now live in Los Angeles. So what's the revelation that you came away researching your father, who you call a country editor?
I just noticed when I came back to Wyoming that they had perceptions about me as you know, an adopted Californian, and I brought ideas about what I thought rural Wyoming would be like, and both sides have been proven wrong. I think there's a lot of commonality that we underappreciate.
Mm-hmm. And the name of the play, Waiting for Chinook, comes from a painting, right? Could you describe the painting and why it became so central to the story?
Well, Waiting for Chinook is the painting that made Western painter Charles M. Russell famous, and he's called Montana's cowboy artist. And I first encountered it at the Buffalo Bill Center of the West up in Cody several years ago. And I was reminded that as a kid, I had asked my dad to explain it to me because we lived in Cody at the time. And it basically features a starving steer in a blizzard with five wolves circling in. And Russell intended it as a way to explain what happened to the open range herds in the great blizzards of 1886-87 to the cattle barons who weren't there and why they had all died in that blizzard. So I look at it as a political cartoon, and it just was irresistible not to compare it to the decline in print journalism today.
So who are the wolves in that scenario then?
In my scenario, the wolves would be first family, and I'm speaking primarily of Metro dailies here, but when the big Metro dailies, which were family-owned, were sold off to Wall Street, the goal for profit went from 10% to 35%. So operations were streamlined. And the second one is the advent of Craigslist and other online penny savers drastically compromised classified advertising sales. Third would be just that the print journalism had its head in the sand about the effect of the internet. And fourth was that all of the news that they were basically providing, the journalism that they were providing, was being aggregated for free by like Huffington Post, whatever, and getting disseminated for nothing. And they didn't know how to charge for the value of that content. And fifth was basically the economic collapse of 2008. So since 2000, pretty much a third of newspaper jobs have been lost. And that's truly been devastating to that industry and to those people affected.
But community weeklies are to some extent thriving. So is it just kind of an evolved industry, do you think?
What I think is that the Metro dailies have underestimated the fact that community weeklies such as, you know, the Wyoming newspapers are pulling their own weight. And they're hyper-localized. People continue to need their morning paper in cities like Laramie and Cody and Sheridan and Jackson. And national publications can't do that. And so as the need continues to be met in small communities, community newspapers will continue to survive and even thrive.
So this is obviously a stage production. As a playwright, do you also sometimes feel like the starved steer in the painting in the face of television and the entertainment that's offered up by the internet?
I do, but I mean, let's face it, being a playwright is not really a profit-centric profession, but it's just been fantastic. And I come from the film business and also from the publishing business, and writing a play here, working with the theater department at the University of Wyoming, has just been a remarkable experience. And the theater department is supported here in Wyoming, and I think it's just incredible to get to watch such a personal story be played out in front of me. And I got to tell you, that's worth all the money in the world.
All right. Well, thank you so much. I'm speaking with Gregory Hinton. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.